Good morning. This morning we welcome the Reverend Allie Clark from the Faith, who is a Faith Engagement and Outreach Coordinator at Kencrest. She will be presiding over worship while PK is away.
Come to worship, all you who love and serve the Lord, outsiders and insiders. Come as you are, for this is God's house. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. God of all peoples, your arms reach out to embrace all those who call upon you. Teach us as disciples of your Son to love the world with compassion and constancy, that your name may be known throughout the earth through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
A reading from Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, maintain justice and do what is right, for soon my salvation will come and my deliverance be revealed. And the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord, to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord and to be his servants, all who keep the Sabbath and do not profane it and hold fast my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. Thus says the Lord God, who gathers the outcasts of Israel, I will gather others to them besides those already gathered. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Gospel according to Matthew. Then he called the crowd to them and said to them, listen and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles. Then the disciples approached and said to him, did you know that the Pharisees took offense when they heard what you said? He answered, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are the blind guides of the blind. And if one blind person guides another, both will fall into a pit. But Peter said to him, "Explain this parable to us." Then he said, "Are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth enters the stomach and goes out into the sewer? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this is what defiles. For out of the heart come evil intentions, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, and slander. These are what defile a person, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile." Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall down from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed from that moment. The Gospel of the Lord. I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message. Is mic on now? All right. Is it way down there?
All right, that's fine.
Hi, I'm Deacon Allie. It's nice to meet you both. Do you know what this is? An octopus? How do you know it's an octopus? It's big. What tells you it's an octopus? It has tentacles, right? So it has 8 tentacles. Anybody want to hold the octopus? You guys can pass it around and share it. Take turns holding onto it. Thank you. So, no, it's a lot. It's okay. You don't have to hold the octopus. So, my name is Deacon Allie. As I said, I work for a place called Kencrest. And so I brought you guys a coloring book today. So if you want to take one and pass it down, if you open to the first page, there's a picture of our friend Octopus right on the first page. And it's because of just what our friend said. It has 8 tentacles. There's so many different things that we do. So at Kencrest, we like to help kids like you. Did any of you go to preschool? Yeah? Did you go to are you in preschool right now, sir? Oh, man. Do you like it? Do you learn a lot? The octopus is on the first page. There you go. Obviously, you knew it was an octopus, right? So we have preschools for kids in Philadelphia, but we also help people with disabilities. So do you know what a disability is? No. Do you have any friends who are, like, maybe can't do things quite the same way you do? Maybe they need a wheelchair, or maybe they get excited during class and their teacher has to help redirect them a lot because they're excited and chatty. I have ADHD, so that's personal experience there. Allie talks a lot during class. Otherwise, she's a great student. She just keeps talking every year. So if you flip through this, you can see the pictures of kids with in wheelchairs or other kids with disabilities. But when we see people that look different from us sometimes, how do we feel inside? If you see someone who looks totally different than you, like they are on crutches and it looks like they broke their leg, or they aren't looking at you, they're looking over to the side while you're talking to them, does it make you a little nervous sometimes? No? Not nervous? Do you just talk to them like they're just any other person? That's perfect. That's what Jesus calls us to do. Some people don't know how to do that, though, and they're like, "Oh, this person looks different than me. Like, you're blonde, and so maybe those people be like, oh, I don't know about her. She has blonde hair. Maybe I shouldn't talk to her, right? So, but Jesus calls us to talk to everyone, no matter what they look like or what they can do or how they can take care of themselves or if they need someone to help them. And so that's what we do at KenCrest, is we help people see how to include everyone in worship, but also just in community and in our life. So if you look through this, you'll be able to learn lots more, and you can color this and learn about it while I'm telling all of the adults about it in the sermon, which will not be as interesting to you as even this very brief moment. So, ma'am, do you like to read? Do you want to read this little bit for me right here, just to remind us what that is? Okay. So if you would do me a favor and just read this little part right here.
Thus says the Lord God, who gathers the outcast of Israel, I will gather others to them besides those already gathered.
Perfect, thank you. So that's our first lesson for today, and that's just a reminder that God has said, ever since the Hebrew scriptures, way, way, way back in time, that God is going to gather us all together. So we will remember that when we're out in the world. But do we pray at the end of this? Is that something you'll do soon? Do you do a repeat prayer? Have you ever done that? Okay, so you guys repeat after me. Dear God, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for loving everyone else. Thank you for making us all a little different so that the world is interesting and fun. Help us treat others the way you want us to, with love and kindness and respect. And all God's children said, amen. Good job. I actually also have some cool crayons for you because I know that, you know, you have to be able to color those things. So I don't know if you've seen these before, but you can take them apart and then put them back together, and you can color with all these colors. So one crayon only on the paper. Pinky promise. Pinky promise. Only on the paper. I think Mom will take care of it for us. Oh yeah, you want to hold him for service for me? Because I can't take care of him up there. I got a lot of stuff. You'll hold him for service for me. Okay, cool. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Purple. Oh, most. You know, it's a good color. I have plenty of extras if anyone else wants a coloring book after worship. All right, so now I'm using this microphone, is that right? Okay, now I'm not double mic'd like I was before. Sorry about that. All right, so as I was just telling our younger folks, this Isaiah passage is a key reminder of God's love for all God's children and God's desire for us to be in community with one another. We see this in Lutheran theology all over the place. I know you know this as a Reconciling in Christ church. I also saw that you have community dinners on Thursday. That's another reminder to your whole Conshi community that God loves everyone and their presence is welcome here. The book of Isaiah is a very important set of Hebrew scriptures, the prophets. It would have been well known to Jesus and his disciples. While we work through the gospel reading, keep this message in the back of your minds today. God's house is for all peoples. Ooh, it's like picking up my breathing here. All right, at the start of the gospel today, Jesus tells us, in a fairly graphic way, that we are not tainted or corrupted or defiled by what we ingest. That goes out the sewer, as that will just work its way through us. Instead, the way that we express the true inner beliefs of our hearts, the words that come out of our mouths, are what show whether we are corrupt or not. Many of us grew up hearing the little ditty, sticks and stones may break my bones, but, right? But that's not really true. We said it as a defense, and often while hurting deeply from what someone said to us. And that is what Jesus is explaining to Peter here and the other disciples. The things that we say matter. The evil intentions, the false witness, and the slander. It is doing those acts that defile us. Whether someone follows the same cultural norms we do at the dinner table is irrelevant. Which is highly ironic when we get to the second part of the gospel today. Many people read this second half with a focus on the fact that Jesus is fully human and fully divine. He's both, right? In this vein, the thought is that Jesus reacts as a human and falls into the trap of the lifelong prejudice that against Canaanites that he was raised with. When the woman calls him out on this bias, telling him that the dogs even get the scraps, he realizes his mistake, and by way of apology, he praises her great faith healing her daughter. Don't get me wrong, this is a great read of the story. The human nature of Jesus is really important to our understanding of the upside-down world of God's kingdom. In fact, one of my favorite stories in the Bible about Jesus is when he acts in anger and flips over all the tables in the temple. It's a reminder of his humanity and a lack of patience and grace, which I know I fall prey to many times. But there is another way to look at the story, which is that Jesus is making a point to his disciples. He's acting out a parable rather than just telling it. Much like when I get on Zoom with my family every Sunday and sometimes I'll ask my nephew pointedly incorrect questions like, 2 + 2 = 5, right? And I learned that if you're too casual about the way you say something like this, kids will just say, uh-huh, and keep on going. So you kind of have to kick it up a notch. Say it with some gusto, like, duh, 2 + 2 = 5. And then the kid goes, Aunt Allie, no, that's not, 2 + 2 = 4, don't you know that? And then they explain math to you as if you had no idea. So let's just set the scene. Jesus is Aunt Allie, right? He's like, let me really make this clear to you. He's taking his disciples into Tyre and Sidon. These are not part of Judea, guys. Israelites do not live in Tyre and Sidon. So when a woman from the area calls out to him loudly, Jesus doesn't answer her. This is the only place in the Gospels where Jesus doesn't respond to a person calling for help. Maybe he's hoping the disciples will just catch on right away, but they don't, because they never do. Remember, these disciples literally just learned that what they say about someone and how they treat someone is what truly matters. So they asked Jesus to do something about the woman, but not because they want him to treat her right. They just think she's being too loud and it's bothering them. All right, so Jesus responds with a shrug. No thanks, not here for these people. Wait, what? Jesus, you walked into this place knowing it was full of people you wouldn't help? You do know that everyone knows who you are at this point, right? You're kind of a big deal. Somebody here was clearly going to ask for help. Also, Jesus has already helped many people who are not of the lost sheep of Israel. In Matthew 10, he healed the daughter of a centurion. That's a Roman soldier, a member of the occupying force. So then he goes even further off his normal script and says something really rude to this woman. Jesus is the one who is known for talking kindly to all kinds of people that society looks down on. I just can't get the visual of these disciples as my nephew and Jesus trying his hardest to get them to catch on to this obviously incorrect behavior. But now there are flaws in both logic, in the logic of both readings, and there's enough support to be valid interpretations of the story for either way you want to look at this. I spent 2 hours at a Bible study on Monday with pastors, and it was split 50-50 on whether they were going to preach that Jesus is human and made a mistake, or that Jesus was intentionally trying to get his disciples to learn this lesson. But regardless of the tenor of the interaction between Jesus, his disciples, and the Canaanite woman, the end is the same. This loud foreigner, this woman who is daring to speak to a man in public, shouted him actually, she gets what she asked for. Jesus heals her daughter and commends her great faith, grace upon grace upon grace. Whether Jesus is realizing he had been wrong or if he has just made a scene to get his disciples' attention and hopefully push his recent lesson through to them. Remember last week's gospel when Peter walked on water? And when he gets a little nervous and he calls out for help, Jesus immediately helps him. But then he says, "Oh, you of little faith." That same Peter is the disciple in our story today who asks Jesus to explain the parable about what comes out of our mouths to Jesus. Why would Jesus think they understood much of anything without an object lesson? But in comparison to that Peter story from last week, this week when a Canaanite woman calls out for help, Jesus immediately ignores her, then insults her, and nevertheless, she persists. Finally, he says, "Woman, great is your faith," before he grants her request and heals her daughter. Great is her faith. The good news of this story is that regardless of how we see Jesus in this setting, the woman has great faith and God's mercy rains down upon her. God's mercy is not limited to the lost sheep of Israel, but is available for everyone. And regardless of how our insular societies see people, God sees us all as God's children. This unnamed Canaanite woman is a great hero of the faith. In this moment, she is even more faithful than the disciples. She knows who Jesus is, and she knows that his grace is given to all, not by something we do to earn it, but just by our mere existence. She is not afraid of raising her voice or of demanding attention. She is not afraid to speak truth to power. She has faith that her voice is valued and valuable. This woman of great faith is bravely asking for help for her child, a person who cannot advocate for herself. This hero does not lose faith when her first attempt is not successful. She adjusts her plan and puts herself physically in front of Jesus. When he essentially calls her a dog, she does not bother to waste her breath denying the fact that food for the children does not go to the dogs. She shows Jesus that it is not about how much she receives. She has faith that he will provide. I wish I could tell you that we have found some secret scroll which tells us the name of this woman and of the many other unnamed women of great faith in the Bible. Unfortunately, since I cannot, I am going to tell you a story about a modern woman of great faith whose name we do know. Her name is Sister Grace Jones. She was a Lutheran deaconess in Philadelphia who served as a psychiatric nurse at the German hospital. In 1947, she took over as the deaconess in charge of the Kensington Dispensary for the Treatment of Tuberculosis and the Rivercrest Preventorium, which had served as a safe haven for children with tuberculosis and those who had been exposed to family members with TB. But by 1947, when she took over, medical advancements and public health initiatives had proven hugely successful. And even after World War II, tuberculosis didn't come roaring back as people had expected. Sister Grace had a choice to make. The Kensington Dispensary and Rivercrest had been providing many services to a large population of the poor in Philadelphia, and they had the resources to do so. They continued providing health care to children in poverty, but she knew God had a bigger plan to help more people. She had worked with children with disabilities as a nurse, and she knew the challenges that families faced. They either sent their children to institutions to live in terrible conditions separated from the rest of society, or they kept their children at home, where they had to be hidden from the rest of society. So in 1954, when Brown versus Board of Education struck down the separate but equal clause, Sister Grace Jones had the opening she needed. In 1955, the year of Kensington Dispensary's 50th anniversary, Sister Grace opened a class for children with disabilities at the dispensary building. More classrooms followed, and then Rivercrest was also converted to a school for children with disabilities. In these schools, teachers taught children life skills, but they also focused on teaching self-worth and dignity and belonging. A few years later, Sister Grace opened preschools at two Lutheran churches because she saw how important early access to education is. These were the precursors to the 7 early learning centers we still have in Philadelphia, inclusive preschools for children funded through Head Start and pre-K counts, so families who cannot afford such a vital service are still able to access it. As more reports came out in the 40s and the 50s and the 60s about the terrible conditions in the institutions that people with disabilities were living in, Sister Grace added that to her fight. We opened our doors at the Kensington Dispensary, and we built homes at Rivercrest for people with intellectual and developmental disabilities to live in a community and receive support outside of the institutional setting. In her final act as deaconess in charge of the Kensington Dispensary and Rivercrest Preventorium homes in 1968, Sister Grace led a corporate merger, and the two organizations became Kencrest Centers for Exceptional Persons. Sister Grace did not settle for helping one person or the other, one group or another. She pushed for community understanding of the dignity and humanity of all of God's children. She was an instrumental part of the disability rights movement. This is what women of great faith do. They inspire movements. Just like the Samaritan woman at the well who shared Jesus' story to her whole town, and Martha who told all the disciples about Jesus' resurrection, and this Canaanite woman who helped Jesus teach his disciples about inclusion. Sister Grace Jones set Kencrest's mission in motion. We are still working toward making sure people of all abilities have the support they need to live a meaningful life within their community. We have three different types of residential options for adults and a whole host of community engagement programs. We have an enabling technology department that helps not only people with disabilities, but also senior citizens find assistive devices to help them be independent in their own homes. We provide intervention services for children with disabilities from birth to age 5. I could keep going, but you won't remember it all anyway, and I hear that if I go too long, you'll just leave, so I'm gonna stop. Took me 6 months to learn the breadth of all of our services. I'm not gonna keep you here that long. So instead, I will invite you to go to kencrest.org to learn more. The website and the email address, my email address, are in your bulletin. I have flyers that I can give you as you leave today. But just to bring all this back to the good news of the gospel to wrap it up here. God's grace is for all. As God tells us in Isaiah, God's house shall be a house for all peoples. Let us take heart from the example of the Canaanite woman and Sister Grace and find the courage to speak or even shout against the social constructs which prevent people from being part of our communities. Amen. Please join me in confessing the creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
With bold trust in God's unfailing provision, we pray for the church, for those in need, and all of God's creation. For believers around the world who stream to your holy mountain, that all be united in faith and harmony in the body of Christ, let your church on earth be a witness to the beloved community of your heavenly kingdom. Merciful God, for your wondrous creation, that it thrives and flourishes as you intend, raise up wise stewards to defend the natural world against carelessness and destruction. Safeguard endangered species and their habitats. Merciful God, for the nations of the world and all in authority, that they heed the cry of the outcast and ensure care for the most vulnerable. Give wisdom to leaders of countries, congregations, and communities, that they lead and serve justly. Merciful God, for all who are lonely, grieving, or struggling with chronic pain, that they find comfort, community, and hope. Send relief to all who struggle with illness of any kind, especially Dolores, Francis, Kathy Liberato, Ed, Nancy, Annie, Bobby, Jessica, Frank, Larry, Rose, Michael, Manny, Pam, and Nikki. Merciful God, for this congregation, for visitors and those new to the faith community, that all may recognize the presence of Christ in each new face, draw this community together in love and strengthen it in unwavering faith. Merciful God, for the saints before us whose work is done, that their faithful example continues to direct your church. May their witness remind us that your gifts and calling are irrevocable, whether in life or death. Merciful God, receive our prayers and answer, O God, as you have promised. All this we ask in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always. Are you two wearing matching skirts? No, they're just very similar. Super cute. Thank you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Thanks.
All right, I am back for a week. Then I'll be gone again for 2 weeks, so someone else will, we will be bidding off who gets to do the God sightings. Maybe use that as a fundraiser. Any God sightings today? Wow. Donna? Donna's always the plant. Anything? I mean, if we get out at 10:20, it's okay too.
I think my God's lighting for the day is, everyone who is here, welcome.
Yes, thank you. All right. I know.
Thank you. Good morning again. So the announcements, you can read them in the back of the bulletin, but we will be having Welcome Back and Kickoff Sunday, September 13th. So also the blessing of the backpacks. So bring your backpacks, computer bags, lunch boxes, whatever you want blessed, we will bless them. We will have activities on that afternoon as well. Our choirs are coming back this fall. We have quite a few: Baby Bells, Bell Choir, Adult Choir, Faith Formation Singers. Anyone interested can see Andrew. Faith Formation classes will be starting up. We have the kickoff on the 13th, and I believe classes start on the 20th. Am I correct? Okay. If you're interested in teaching, please see Amy Schaefer, and she can guide you through that. And don't forget our community meals Thursday evenings, and we also have a community garden that we're always looking for help with that.
We will now collect our offering.
Mercy you have given, kindness you have shown. Love is you alone. Who of us is sinless in this place? Who of us deserves your saving grace? Who of us is good of all? Without your blessing, love, you falls upon our hearts to heal our brokenness. You alone are holy. You alone are Lord. You alone are worthy to be honored and adored. Mercy you have given, kindness you have shown. Love is you alone. What is there to do but thank you then for the gift that we might call you friend? Greater love has not been known for that which you gave your only Son, that you might see us pure and blessed. You alone are holy. You alone are Lord. You alone are worthy to be honored and adored. Mercy you have given, kindness you have shown. love is you alone. Love is you alone.
God, gracious and merciful, you bring forth food from the earth and nourish your whole creation. Turn our hearts towards those who hunger in any way, that all may know your care. And prepare us now to feast on the bread of life, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Merciful God, we do not presume to come to your table trusting in our own righteousness, but in your abundant mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat and drink the body and blood of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, that we may live in him and he in us, now and forever. Every week in this holy space, we gather together at the Lord's table and remember with thanksgiving that in the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." This is the supper of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the same bread and cup shared in our community of faith. While PK is not physically present in our community right now, she consecrated the elements for us to use as she joins us in spirit. Let us pray. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. Today we will celebrate communion at the rail. The ushers will direct you, and you will receive the bread from me, the deacon. Gluten-free bread is available, just let me know. Apple juice is available in the cup tray. In the middle, it is yellow. The wine is red. Taste and see that the Lord is good.
Let us pray. Please rise as you are able. God of abundance, with this bread of life and cup of salvation, you have united us with Christ, making us one with all your people. Now send us forth in the power of your Spirit, that we may proclaim your redeeming love to the world and continue forever in the risen life of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, Creator, Christ, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
Peace. Christ is with you.